This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. A Delaware chef is named a Best Chef finalist for the first time in the James Beard Award's 34-year history. A James Beard Award is the most prestigious honor in the American restaurant world. So it's a big deal that Matt Kern, chef and co-owner of One Coastal in Fenwick Island, is the only first-stage chef ever to be named a Beard finalist in any culinary category. He's been nominated before, but hasn't been a finalist until now. This week, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon sat down with Kern ahead of the James Beard Awards ceremony on June 10th to talk about the finalist nod and his restaurant, One Coastal.
From your view, why do you think, you know, now is the time for this? Why do you think you were named a finalist now as opposed to previous years?
I don't know, but I can tell you that I have everything on the line and that I have worked my butt off owning my own restaurant to push just to do the right thing. And to be nominated when you're doing that feels pretty damn good. I mean, I have one hell of a staff that I am super proud of, and I want the world to know it. You know, I'm not a one-man show. I have a whole team that has believed in me and had my back this entire time. You know, my wife being my life partner and business partner, I mean, she's believed in me when I didn't. And I wouldn't have any of this without her. And I'm so grateful that I had some investors that are friends that I trust, because I'm very scared to get into bed with anybody. But to be able to have the opportunity to truly captain my own ship and own my own establishment, that was everything to me. I've been dreaming about this for almost 30 years. So I have a very tiny 50-seat strip mall restaurant with probably one of the smallest kitchens I've ever worked out of, and I do not have any whistles and bells. And I've definitely had, I guess, the abridged version of restaurant ownership in the past 2.5 years, because I have had all the obstacles thrown in our way, and we keep moving past and moving forward. So I am grateful for this, just for, you know, future reference, and to look at the tenacity of restaurant people in general. You know, I mean, we are movers and shakers. We adapt in every situation because we have to. So we've adapted for 2.5 years to push, to celebrate local agriculture, to support responsible local agriculture, and to create venues that, you know, tie into where we live and where we conduct business. And that was the dream all along, to show that an independent mom and pop restaurant supporting local agriculture could still survive in this climate. And we're doing it. I mean, the James Beard semi-finalist nod in my own restaurant was something I never expected. I really didn't. I was just focusing on being a good boss, a good leader, a good husband, a good father, and a good chef. And in the process, I'm guessing we made the right people happy. And, you know, we really pushed to try to make everybody happy and to give an experience that's maybe a little bit more on the comfortable side, but nonetheless to support our vision of being able to keep farmers on their land and in gainful employment. And we're doing it.
There's a number of things you said there that I want to unpack with you, but you spoke about those obstacles. How would you describe the work that's needed to not only keep the place going, One Coastal, but to ensure that One Coastal is a quality restaurant that meets your standards, you know, with a quality experience that serves quality food? What kind of work goes into that?
All of it. You really gotta love it. Like, there are definitely days I go in and I'm like, man, what am I doing? Am I doing this right? And it's humbling. And humility is one of your best friends in this industry. You know, you got to get comfortable with being on your face, because it happens a lot. We all fall down. You got to learn to pick yourself up and dust your knees off and move forward. So, you know, the amount of work that we had to do getting in there in order to clean everything, paint everything, rebrand a bit. The idea of buying One Coastal with it was it was right after COVID. So it was really scary time for restaurants to begin with, because, you know, we were villainized. everything had to shut down, but Walmart was like printing money and had a packed parking lot. How that works, I have no idea. But corporate America did really well. And I found one coastal because it was an existing restaurant with a really incredible team. And Carly and Scott were the owners, and they were at the end of their road. They had a young family they were trying to focus on, and a farm, and a lot of responsibilities. And, you know, after 8 years of running a successful business, I think they were ready to move on. And at the exact same time, my wife and I were ready to take on our own spot, because I didn't want to do this for somebody else anymore. If I'm going to put everything I have, my heart, my passion, my talent on the line, I don't want to make somebody else more money than I make off, especially if they're questioning my morals and my judgment, where I'm trying to do the right thing no matter what. I don't want any regrets in life, especially as a chef or a restaurateur. I want to teach people everything I have. I want to make the best decisions I can, not only for my community, but my environment. And I don't want to feel like somebody else is getting in the way of that just for a dollar. There are avenues where I know I lose money. A, paying my staff a good living wage. That's not losing money. Paying them and giving them 40 hours in the off season when it's slower, that's not losing money to me. Maybe I'm paying for things that other restaurants wouldn't, but to have a team to support you and back you, I think it's 100% important to make sure they know that you have their back as well. And if you want a sustainable future, you have to invest in your team. So we just would look at the day-to-day, the responsibilities, the work, the commitment, and just take it one day at a time.
You've touched on it a bit, but you've also said elsewhere, other, you know, recent interviews and whatnot, following the award finalist announcement, that, you know, even when you didn't believe in yourself, your team did, your wife absolutely did. And I quote, "And that's why she forced me to find a restaurant," end quote. looking back a bit though, you know, how do you think those obstacles or your own struggles or your ups and downs, you know, how do you think those things have informed your journey and the way you lead and work with others in the restaurant business?
I mean, with empathy. Like, I was a cook for 29 years of my life. I was an executive chef for the last 9 or 10 years of that. I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. I know what it's like to come up. I know what it's like to have to learn discipline and to relearn better ways of doing something. So I went into this with the idea that I was going to have to constantly be able to pivot and change. It's a 50-seat restaurant, so I make my money off of the scraps, the waste that a lot of restaurants throw out. I have to find new uses for, which makes me a better chef. To work farm to table, that means you're working in the season, no matter what. That means you're taking whatever farms have and creating menus based off of that. It forces us to be better. It forces you to not go and buy all the beautiful, shiny new ingredients that everybody else is using, to not put caviar and truffles on everything, but to really focus on harder work to ensure that you can showcase a season for all it is and to document that. And to be able to teach these, you know, techniques and cooking processes to your team so that they can execute it, not only in your absence, but when they move on and hopefully open their own restaurants. I mean, I'm not teaching cooks, I'm teaching leaders. And I want to give each and every one of them a better opportunity than I had. If you're doing it for those reasons, the restaurant industry is looking at a great change to get away from the mentality of, you know, drinking after work, or the fact that since we live kind of this alternative life, you know, because we're working on the weekends when everybody else wants to go out. We're working at nights when everybody else wants to go out. We're crazy packed on the weekends when everybody wants to party, right? And, you know, we're kind of living a snub life sometimes, it feels like. And there's a lot of stigmas that go along with restaurant workers. And I think that's very unfair, because I have found everything I ever wanted out of a career in this industry. And I want to share that and legitimize that with anyone who ever works for me and whoever's paying attention.
Well, to wrap up here then, Matt, you're set to fly out soon with your wife to the awards, the James Beard Awards in Chicago on June 10th, next week. When it comes to awards like this, what does something like this mean to you just to be a finalist? Is it affirming of your work and your career? Is it like a marker in time for you? How do you, what, you know, what's your view on it?
It's a huge honor, and I never thought, I don't know, I there are a lot of chefs that push for these awards and restaurateurs that build these beautiful restaurants and spare no expense to get this kind of recognition. And I'm just not that chef. I got this by following my heart over my head and working really, really hard to do what I believed was doing the best I could. With everything encompassed with being the best chef that I can possibly be and coming from a place where I don't have that higher echelon of restaurants. I didn't go to college and I definitely didn't graduate to culinary school. I did this on my own terms. So if I see any kind of pride in any of that, it's the fact that we did this on our own terms. So when it's all encompassed in something like getting acknowledgement from a national organization like the James Beard Foundation, which is the top for us, it's our Grammys of food. It's just incredible. It's incredible to be here. I hope I don't let anybody down, but there are moments where I just sit back and smile that I was able to be a part of something great and to do something that I believe in and to keep pushing to do more.
Thanks to Matt Kern, chef and co-owner of One Coastal in Fenwick Island, and our Kyle McKinnon for joining us on The Green this week. And we wrap up The Green next with the latest episode of the Delaware Humanities podcast, A More Just Delaware. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.